I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Time to take KSL Outdoors. This is Utah's most listened to program about hunting, fishing, camping, and high adventure. All the gear you need to buy, where the fish are biting, and secret places in Utah and around the world where you can have a blast. KSL Outdoors with host Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good morning and welcome to a brand new day. It is a pleasure to have you with us. The weather's turning, so I guess it's appropriate that today is the opening day of the general deer season in Utah. And if you talk to the hunters, they'll tell you they don't mind that because it gets the deer up and moving. But we're going to talk a little about the deer season on today's show, obviously. And we'll tell you more about what's on tap for the next couple of hours in a minute. But let me just go around the room here and introduce everybody. First of all, as always, it is Russell Smith here from Sky Call. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
You brought backup today.
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah, I need, it takes a whole team to work with Navi over here. Anyway, yeah.
Introduce us to our guest.
This is Chris from Garmin, and I'm trying to think your last name, Chris.
Messer. Yep.
Chris Messer from Garmin. He's my sales guy.
He's
the guy that's, you know, we get out the chalkboard and write up our sales goals, you know, and
from the conversations behind the scenes, Garmin is into many more different kinds of products than most people think.
Yeah.
Even a watch that you guys were talking about a minute ago, and we'll talk about
that. Pretty nice watch is hard to resist.
Russ likes somebody who's going to tell him where to go.
That's right.
Oh, and that would be Mike Navidauskas over there, friendly old Navi.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am very well, thank you.
Good. School is out this week for you.
Days off. I'm feeling good. Feeling good like Hollywood. Chilling like a K's villain.
So you snuck out of the house. Mama's at work, I guess?
Well, I got to get to the river. I got students going to meet me there. We're fishing today.
Oh.
This is my makeup class. Last spring when the mountain came down, that tons of water, muddy water, it was too dangerous to get my people in the river. So I had to reschedule.
Back off that mic a little bit. I don't know.
I rescheduled them.
Yeah.
So this is their day. So these are the spring people. The second week, the first week they killed them, but if you waited till the second week, the mountain came down, and so they didn't get a fish, and so they're fishing today.
All right. And you said the entire class is listening to this program.
As always.
Yeah. Always nice to know we've got some fans out there. As I mentioned, before we get into anything else about today and talk about what else is coming up on the show, today is the beginning of the deer season here in Utah, and we have a tradition of always starting it out with a little something from the deer hunters.
I totally forgot about that song.
This is not 30 Point Buck, though.
Oh, it's not?
Nope. Pretty Bad at Hunting Deer is the name of this one.
I ain't never shot no big rag buck. No one ever stops to peek in the bed of my truck. I come home empty-handed cause I got no luck. Yeah, I'm pretty bad at hunting deer.
There's a lot of guys right now singing along out there.
There's the music video.
Where are the dancing girls?
I watch their shows on my TV. Spooks Band's my hero, got a crush on Tiffany. The bone collector Michael Waddell makes it look easy, but I'm
pretty bad at hunting deer.
I wear my rubber boots, I got a Ziploc suit, a rattle bag and grunt call. Pour out my tank 69. All the time, but I still got no buck on my wall. Never had blood smeared on my face, but there's cut shirt tail pieces all over the place. My hunting buddies say I'm just a big disgrace, cause I'm pretty bad at hunting deer. I got kicked off my own grandpa's farm.
He said I couldn't hit the broad side of his barn. To tell you all the truth, I just don't give a darn.
Everybody.
Pretty bad deer.
I wear my rubber boots, I got a Ziploc suit, a rattle bag and drunk call. Pour out my tank 69, I use it all the time, but I still got no buck on my wall. I ain't never shot no big rack buck. No one ever stopped to peek in the bed of my truck. Did you get that?
Yep, sure did.
Of course, it's the ladies that have done the hunting there. Yep. Anyway, pretty bad at hunting deer. That one I found on YouTube, actually.
That's pretty good.
We've established the fact through the years that none of us are really deer hunters in this room, right?
At one time.
Yeah, I went on a deer hunt.
No, I used to go every year until my grandfather died.
Did you ever shoot one and bring it home?
I did.
Yeah?
Yep.
Hmm. Memorable?
The trip was memorable. Absolutely. You know, it was all about being in that big giant tent, eating pine hen. And we listened to the World Series. That's the thing. And then they would all gamble. And my grandfather had pennies from like 1928 and stuff that he'd always kept in his deer bag.
Yeah.
And they played... They gambled, you know, with the same pennies from when they grew up.
Well, that was my point about picking this video or this song today, was that if you ask most hunters, bringing a deer home is secondary to the experience and hanging with buddies and with
it's
family.
It's a camping trip with leaves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are we not going to hear the youpers, though?
No, I don't have the youpers today. Oh. Does that disappoint you?
Yeah. I'm done.
Yeah. Here's my one deer hunt experience, and I had a buddy growing up in high school who was a diehard, and his dad, they hunted everything. I don't care what season it was, they were out hunting. And so I tagged along a couple of times. My dad wasn't around, so I decided I was going to go give it a try, and they saw a deer that I never saw. They were down on their butts shooting at something before I even knew anything happened.
Right.
He thought, my friend thought he had hit the deer. So his dad sends us chasing it. He wanted us to run around the ravine, get on the other side, and send it back down in if it in fact was still running. And we were in thigh deep snow.
Right.
So I remember running for what seemed like days chasing this thing. We never saw it, never found it. Still to this day, don't know whether it was hit or not.
Quick story. My first time, I went to dinner and deer hunt safety, and I got my permit. Never been before. My grandpa's taking me. It's my first year. So I was walking with him and just going to watch what to do. I didn't know anything. And it was snowy, and he slips and falls. And a deer came, and he slipped, and his rifle went in the snow. And I'm looking at him, and he goes, "Shoot it!" So I shot it.
Yeah.
And that's how it happened. I just aimed and shot. And,
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, everybody has deer hunt stories, and there are more being made out there this morning as we speak.
I don't have any deer hunt stories of my own.
None?
No, that's why he likes the hoop.
But I hear a lot of deer hunt stories.
Yeah.
Deer, moose, and bear, and everything else every day.
And then they have to wonder, is the story from the field better than the deer widow story from while the guys were out of town? I don't know. There's a lot of deer widow events going on this weekend.
But hopefully in the next couple of weeks we hear the Russian story.
Oh, yeah. You were sharing that with me.
Yeah, without spilling the beans too much. They got stuck in Russia for quite a few days.
Well, you had mentioned on the show a couple of weeks ago, because we weren't here last week, that you were sending some phones out with a group of guys, six of them, I think, going to Russia.
I sent trackers out.
Trackers, sorry.
They took a tracker, and they took the BGAN unit. They were planning on calling into the show, but they were too far north. They couldn't hit the satellite. So when I started watching their messages, I can watch all the stuff I rent. And I tell people this. I can see everything going on, where you're at, and see your messages. It was, when are they going to come? To another guy at a different camp. I don't know. I haven't seen my guy in a long time. And these messages, I'm going, what the heck's going on?
Welcome to Russia.
And finally, the guy I dealt with on this, Jeff, he texts me and says, how much does it cost to hit the SOS button?
Oh, no.
I'm going, oh, crap. That's the old crap button.
Right.
And I said, it doesn't cost you anything, but you got to pay for your services if they line up for you. So they were in I'm going to, this is it. I'm not going to talk anymore after this about this thing because I want it to be fresh.
Okay.
But they were setting up wiring quite a few thousand dollars to the Russian helicopter company to come in and get them.
That's the way it is.
A lot of money.
Wow.
$7,000.
We have this experience in Kamchatka.
Yeah.
They say one price, but then when you're stuck there, the price goes up.
Yeah. He was in that general area, but further north because he was
it's
a lot
just
closer.
Common.
Yeah, a lot
they know they got you.
Well, by the way, it's not just Russia. I had that happen on a glass-bottom boat ride in, where were we? Down in the Caribbean somewhere. Anyway, they get you out on the glass-bottom boat with one price, and then they tell you if you want to get back to shore, it's going to cost you a little bit more than that.
Yeah,
it happens. Anyways, we're going to talk more about the deer hunt and specifically about the number of poaching incidents that they've already had since August. We had this on our Utah's Morning News this week. The numbers are already crazy with what's going on out there. And so it's just a reminder for everybody, and we'll refresh your memories with the poaching hotline number. And hopefully, if we can't prevent these things, then we can at least catch those that are making a habit of breaking the law out there. So anyway, we hope everybody has a nice deer hunt weekend and be safe about it. That'll be coming up in our Division of Wildlife segment a little after the top of the next hour. We do need to take a break, so let's do that here. When we come back, it will be our traditional News of the Week segment, and there's plenty to talk about, so stay with us. More of KSL Outdoors Radio is coming up.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
KSL Outdoors. From camping in southern Utah to climbing in northern Africa, it's all here on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
And welcome back to KSL Outdoors Radio. Tim, Russ, is it Chris?
Chris.
Yeah. Chris. And Navi, all in studio this morning. We're going to talk more about Garmin coming up right after the bottom of the hour. We've got a news update coming. But let's talk about some news of the week. And I love this story. It got a lot of play this past week. Did you see this of the cougar kittens that were found by somebody along the north slopes of the Uintas? Take a look at these little guys.
Put them in your van, bring them home.
Oh, man, is that cute? I gotta tell you.
Somebody actually spotted them, and mother was
nowhere. They put the spots on them?
Mama was nowhere to be found, so the biologist went up there, gathered up these kittens, and then took them to the Hogle Zoo, where the staff took care of them over the weekend, and fed them and, made sure they were healthy. And then they were headed off to their new home, which happened to be the Bronx Zoo.
Wow.
Yeah.
There you go.
I mean, maybe something happened to Mama out there. I don't know.
Probably.
I felt kind of bad if Mom was coming home, looking for the for the babies and they were gone.
Well, she shouldn't have been out drinking in the first place.
Speaking of Deer Widows Weekend. But the biologists were pretty certain that, something had happened to her because she was just nowhere to be found, and they took the time to actually make sure before they brought them
in. How good is that?
Yeah. Cute little guys anyway. But, it's one of those things. They're cute when they're tiny, and then they grow up. Here's another note I wanted to pass along, and you can check it out on our Facebook page about waterfowl hunters. They're telling you to watch for this algal bloom. And make the point right out of the chutes, because we talk a lot about the algal bloom in the middle of summer, and there is a misnomer out there that it always happens in the warmest parts of the year. But they said across the state, if you're out going to be harvesting migrating geese and ducks that and using decoys, and your dogs are going to be in the water, obviously, avoid these harmful algal blooms on some of the water bodies. They said there's about 30 of them in the state. that they're still monitoring harmful levels of these algal blooms as the temperatures continue to decrease, weather conditions worsen during the fall and winter. I'm kind of surprised because I was one of those people that always thought it was just a summertime thing.
Not alone.
Yeah, I wouldn't put my dog in that.
Yeah, it's rough. I mean, it's rough. It's just the way we live now.
Yeah. Also known as the blue-green algae, they say, multiply to high densities and form visible water decoloration, scum, and mats that the dogs can get out there and get into. They can actually get pretty sick from it.
It's affected Gal and her choices in paddleboarding now.
That's right. Mike, what's the one factor that's been added to the water to make that happen here?
Yeah, I don't know the chemicals, really.
I mean, is it the lack of the amount of water going through that body?
Well, yeah, and you know the temps have always been the big culprit. But mostly there's a lot of leaching coming from our sewage systems and for the farmers, with their chemicals on their
fertilizer.
So I'm originally from Iowa. We actually had I had a good buddy who let their dog out into a lake behind their house, and we have fields behind the houses and everything. And the dog passed away because of the toxins and everything because he was playing in the water.
Yeah, a lot of our runoff from our sewage systems, as well as the, you know, the chemicals from farming.
Mm-hmm. Well, that they do make that point too, Chris. The division wanted to make sure everybody knew it's not just that your dogs get sick; it's proven to be fatal in pets. So, and most people hunt. Most hunters out there in the waterfowl season, or many do anyway, hunt with their dogs. So it's one of those times when the dogs are obviously going to be going out to retrieve birds in the water. Make sure you check that out before you get out there. Speaking of hunting, the deer season kicks off today, but sportsman permits for the state are coming around. Let's see, they go on sale, or actually your applications for the 2020 sportsman's permit starts on the 23rd of the month, so this coming week. No later than 11 o'clock on November 13th. So there is a little window of opportunity here. You can apply for your permits on the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources website, which is wildlife.utah.gov. And, you know, this is always such a great deal. I don't know what the chances are out there. I've talked to guys that have tried year after year after year and never been able to get one. But you can apply for these permits that allow you to hunt all these species: deer, pronghorn, bull elk, bull moose, Rocky Mountain sheep, bison, mountain goat. It's highly sought after, and there's only a $10 application fee when you apply. If you successfully draw the permits range from $35 to $513, depending. But again, I don't want to confuse people. The details are all available on the division website, which is wildlife.utah.gov.
Yeah, wild turkey is high on my list. You know, I want to do that. Yeah. And I want to do it with a bow. And some of the smaller towns up in Cache County and stuff are now allowing in city limit turkey hunting with a bow.
Hmm. Wow.
And because there's so many now that are, they need to do something with the numbers of turkeys. And oh my gosh, that would be awesome. The whole thing is dark meat, no breast meat. It's going to, for the turkey dinner, it'd be good.
Yeah. And then one more, if you haven't already seen the video on our Facebook page, I just want to, this will get everybody, or at least the hunters out there, heartbeat racing. Look at this big guy as he comes in. By the way, there have been some amazing pictures of giant bull elk shot in the state of Utah in the last couple of weeks.
Well, the fact is, Tim, it's not that we're doing more. It's we have more video. Everybody's got a phone now.
Yeah, but watch this as they call him in.
Yeah, my heart's going. I'm not a hunter.
And by the way, he's just, I don't know what that is, maybe 20 yards, 15 yards away from whoever's taking the video. Great stuff. All right, we need to break for news on the half hour. We'll do that. When we come back, we'll talk to Chris more about Garmin and the many things that maybe you don't know about that great company. So stay with us. A news update is next.